Justin Pulowski, and joining us on that hotline is Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune, Bucks beat writer. Hey, Roy.
How you doing, Justin?
I'm good. Good to have you on, and we'll talk some Buccaneer football here. Let's start with Bennett saying he's not getting love from the Bucks. Didn't get love. That's why he didn't give them a chance to match that offer. Goes to Seattle. The Buccaneers really looking and putting a lot on. Adrian Claiborne and Bowers both have dealt with injuries. In my opinion, I think they still need to address some depth there, right?
Well, absolutely. And that's why until somebody tells me different, I'm going to say, again, this is just my opinion and speculation, really. I'm going to say that one got away from the Bucks. I know they wanted Michael Bennett back. They wanted him back at a certain price. And I got to think around $5 million may even be below what they were thinking over 1 year. And certainly for 1 year, I think they would have done that had Michael gone back to him. Obviously, Michael decided he felt like the pressure was on to make a decision. He could see the market was not quite what he hoped it would be. I'm not going to say he made a rash decision. I think it was a sound decision, but you know, I think he might have moved a little bit too quickly. I think he had given the Bucks a chance. I think they probably would have matched that. I really do, because you know, Michael Bennett is not a guy they wanted to let get away. They felt that they needed that player, but again, considering what their plans are with Daquan Bowers taking over at left end, which has kind of been in the works now for a while, I think they wanted that depth piece, and at that price, I think they probably would have accepted him back.
Even at even with his 9 sacks last year, I don't view Michael Bennett as a pure pass rusher. The Bucks have to get a better pass rush moving forward. Would that be the aspect they look at hardest when bringing in another defensive end? And when you look at the ones on the market, they all seem to be older pass rushers, but at least they're pass rushers.
Well, the way I see it right now, Justin, is without Roy Miller, I think maybe their objective in the draft, at least, and I don't think it's going to be in free agency, but I think their objective on draft day is going to be to find something more like a pass-rushing defensive tackle, and not necessarily another three technique like Gerald McCoy, but someone who can play in that nose and just work that spot and just upgrade what they get out of the pass rush from that spot. You know, that wasn't Roy Miller's strength. He was okay. But he wasn't special at it, and I think if they added somebody who was just a little bit better of a pass rusher there and make you worry, you know, like the old idea that they had with Brian Price, you know, if you've got to worry about those two guys on the inside, suddenly the two guys on the outside become pretty good. And I think we all know, at least, you know, from what they were like when they got him on draft day, Daquan Bowers and Adrian Claiborne are two pretty dynamic pass rushers on the edge. If you can get those guys humming and facing single blocks, you're going to be okay. And, you know, that's what they had with Michael Bennett last year a lot. He was facing a lot of single blocks. The problem with Michael was once he started getting chipped, his production as a sacker went down. And so I think the Bucks saw that. And I know for a fact they were a little bit concerned with Michael Bennett's injury history. It's not a big history. What he's got is he's always had some nagging foot and ankle problems, and I think the Bucks were a little bit concerned about that, becoming a lingering problem as time goes on. I think that was in their thinking as well. And, you know, but, hey, I'm happy for Roy Miller, and I'm happy for Michael Bennett. I think they're two really good players. I thought they'd be back with the Bucks a month ago, and here we are a month later, and I'm certainly wrong on both counts.
I had heard the same thing about Bennett and his injury concerns as well, and perhaps that was a reason they didn't want to bring him back at the money maybe he was looking for initially. Roy Cummings is joining us, Tampa Tribune, Bucks beat writer. I want to get into Revis and the patience here in a moment, but let's stay with the defensive line. Let's talk about a big name that just entered the market on Friday in Elvis Dumervil after the it was a circus there in Denver with them not getting in the paperwork. He became a free agent. The Broncos took a big cap hit. I don't think they're going to re-sign him because of the cap hit they had to take at that time. We've heard the Ravens involved, the Steelers involved. The Bucks still have money to spend, and I believe, according to ProFootballTalk.com, that salary floor goes into effect this year, so the Bucks are going to have to spend 89% of the cap eventually to get to that floor. Do you think they have any interest in a guy in Elvis Dumervil?
I got to think they're going to kick the tires on him. I mean, if a guy like that comes on the market and you've got pass rush issues, and the Bucks certainly do,
yeah,
I think you got to at least look at it. Now, there may be some things about him that they don't like, and maybe at the end of the day they don't do it because they do have a plan for the two guys that they've drafted, you know. So we got to wait and see on that. But if I'm Mark Dominic and I'm the Buccaneers, I'm certainly looking into it, and I'm trying to see what else is out there. You know, they've got to have depth. Because the last thing you want is you don't want Adrian Claiborne or Daquan Bowers you know, suffering some kind of injury during OTAs or mini camp, and then you've got nothing, you know. So you've got to have depth. I don't know if Elmas Dumervil is a guy that you bring in and then, you know, make Bauer's depth again, but it's certainly somebody I'm looking at.
Well, 37 and a half sacks in the last three seasons he's played in. Did miss 2010 with a chest injury, but came back and became a Pro Bowler in 2011 and 2012. You'd think that would be a guy that would add that pass rush to the Buccaneers defense. Roy Cummings is joining us on Tampa Tribune. So the Bucs go out. They get their safety in Deshaun Goldson, who I think paired with Mark Barron, great tandem at safety for a long period of time. But they haven't addressed corner yet. And fans are really, they've tried to be patient. We're a week into it, but they thought the Buccaneers would make a splash in free agency and maybe bring in one of these corners, especially the prices that they're seeing these corners go for. They have not yet. We've heard so much about the Revis trade and the rumblings. How patient do Bucs fans need to be when it comes to the corners on this team?
I don't know if this will answer their question for them, but I'm just going to run down a couple of quick names. Quinton Jammer, Chris Gamble, Antoine Winfield, Terrence Newman, Sheldon Brown. Those corners are still available, and that's just, you know, looking at the top 15 or 20 in free agency right now. There's plenty of cornerbacks out there, and I am almost certain, virtually convinced, that the Buccaneers are absolutely 110% prepared to start a rookie at corner. So I think they're only looking for one veteran corner. Now, is it going to be Darrell Reeves? Is it going to be one of these guys? I don't know. I think they would even go so far as to play two rookie corners. Look, the thing we got to remember, obviously they played some rookies at key positions last year. Lavonte David at middle, at weak side linebacker. Doug Martin at running back. They're not afraid to do this. Mark Barron at safety. They're not afraid to do this. And Greg Schiano is an old defensive backs coach. I think within Greg Schiano, he's got that thought in his head that I can take any one of these kids coming in the draft, and I can make him good enough to play for us at a fairly decent level, if not a high level for us, starting opening day, and he'll get better as the season goes on because I believe in my coaching staff. I believe in my personal ability. I mean, you saw it out there, Justin, when you went to practice. He would spend most of his time with those defensive backs, and he had a knack of taking one or two guys with giving them one-on-one time and working with them personally and individually and trying to get them better. So I think that that's something that he, you know, is anxious to do. So I'll be very surprised if one of the starting corners this year is not somebody they pick up in the draft. And I do think one will be a veteran, but it wouldn't surprise me either if they end up with two guys that are rookies and they're starting, because I think they have the confidence that they can make that work. And to be honest with you, with the way the safeties are now, with what they've got at linebacker, I think they feel pretty good about their coverage in that regard. If they can just get that pass rush moving a little bit better, that'll certainly help the back end. I mean, it does work in concert, so you've got to do something at that spot for sure.
No doubt, building strength up the middle, especially at linebacker and at safety. Do you anticipate, do you believe, do you have that feeling inside that a trade for Darrell Revis will get done eventually?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know what's happened since, but I know as of last Thursday, and I've said this before, as of last Thursday, the Jets had not called any teams and said, are you interested in Darrell Revis? That had not happened. And also as of last Thursday, because that had not happened, the Buccaneers and the Jets had never talked any form of compensation whatsoever. The conversation between Mark Domenech and John Itzig about Darrell Revis, what do you want for him, what do you take for him, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, that had never taken place. Now, maybe it's taken place since. I doubt it, but it's never taken place. I don't think the Bucs are too concerned about Darrell Revis' knee situation. He's 5-6 months out from surgery. I think they feel that's getting better, but they'll certainly want to monitor it.
Sure.
They'll want to know now, is fluid building up as he starts to jog and things like that. I've thought for a while that this is really just more of a media hype thing going on. For some reason, the media thinks that the Jets have to get rid of Darrell Revis, their best player. I don't know why that's the case. I guess because, you know, they think it's going to be a difficult signing. But aren't a lot of players difficult signings? And if this is your best player, well, then why would you get rid of him? And, you know, so I don't know. I think it's a 50-50 proposition. As I wrote in the Tribune on Sunday, I think it's going to happen. If it happens, it's going to happen closer to the draft than it is now. And you know, we'll wait and see. Maybe that's the thing that the Bucs are waiting for. Maybe they're waiting for time and the price to come down. And, you know, I wouldn't give up a first-round draft pick for him. I'll tell you that. It's certainly not this year. I would do it next year, because here's the thing. I think the Buccaneers have to think this way. They honestly believe they're going to win 9-10 games this year, and they should. I think that's something that they can certainly do. They won 7 last year. They were certainly in a position to win a couple more. I think they can win 9 or 10 games this year. If they do that, they're going to be in the lower third of the draft, certainly the second half of the draft. And the 13th overall pick, you know, is a lot more glamorous than, say, the 20th pick.
Sure.
If you're picking 18th or 20th, you don't mind giving that pick up necessarily for a guy like Darrell Revis. Mm-hmm. So you may not give it up the 13th pick. But if I'm running that team, I'd rather give up the 18th or 20th pick next year than the 13th pick this year when I'm still trying to build some things. And so I'd be looking at it that way if I'm the Bucks.
Well, and I think, too, and I've said this, if I'm going to trade a pick, I'd want it to be a conditional pick next year, especially if I have concerns about those knees, protect myself, and then if Revis plays in a certain amount of games and becomes a Pro Bowler, hell yeah, I'm willing to trade a first-round pick. If you can get secure yourself a Pro Bowl corner, I'm willing to give up a first-round pick.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's an excellent point about the conditional pick. And if I'm the Jets looking at it the other way, that's probably where I balk a little bit and say, you know what, I don't know if I want to do that. Because, again, you know, one of the things, and this is the one thing that's bothered me, is, and it's really kind of an indictment on my profession, a little bit yours. I mean, it's a little different on talk radio because it's really built on speculation. But
yeah.
In the newspaper, we're supposed to be dealing in facts. And when we talk to sources, you know, I'm kind of getting tired of all these unnamed sources that are saying this, that, and the other. I mean, I don't know who these people are.
I don't know about you, Roy, but what I'm tired of is watching people on Twitter say, well, sources are saying this, and it's really just people they're following on Twitter that are saying it.
Well, yes, that's definitely become part of the game now. And what bothers me is, you know, it's not that hard, and I think I actually proved this a little bit, and I'm not saying that I'm above anybody by any stretch. But I actually think that it's not that hard, you know, like when something's going on with a player, call up the agent, call up the GM. I mean,
yep.
if you follow me on Twitter, you know, when they were doing the Deshaun Goldson thing, everything was coming from the agent on my end. It wasn't telling you some guy that, you know, on the street that I ran into said, oh, I think they're interested in Goldson. I mean, it was coming from the agent. And you know, it's not that hard to put a guy's name on it. Now, sometimes they don't want their name on this stuff, and I understand that. But, you know, when you're dealing with something like Darrell Revis and you're saying that, you know, it's not that hard to get Woody Johnson on the, you know, on the phone. It's really not that hard to get John Itzik. He was down in Alabama. If you really wanted to know what they were doing with Darrell Revis, go down there, follow him, and ask him the question. They asked him yesterday, and gee, what a surprise. He said, we're not totally against re-signing Darrell Revis. We never said that. And it's like, oh, well, wait a minute. Everybody thought you were because that's what he kept reading in the Daily News.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and again, there's many different angles. And as soon as I get off the phone with you, I'm going to throw it out and speculate that what if the Bucks don't get Darrell Revis? Because you're right. That's what talk radio is all about. It is speculation. It is throwing it out there and throwing out different topics and getting the reaction from the fans. But as you said, it's not just throwing all kinds of stuff against the wall. We're going to take the rumors we hear, we're going to address it here on the radio and see what the fans have to say. And I'll tell you, from reading your article yesterday and preaching the patience, Bucks fans are I think they're tired of being patient.
I think they are too, but you know what, if you're a fan, you can be that way, but you can't be impatient and build a football team properly. You really can't, and I know that's frustrating for fans to hear, but the thing is, it doesn't matter who they get today, because who they get today isn't going to play a game for 6 months, and that's how the Buccaneers have to look at it. And the thing they've got to remember, and I know you've mentioned this as well, the thing they've got to keep in mind is all the players that are coming up for renewal on contracts that they absolutely want to keep. Josh Freeman is probably one of them. Certainly Gerald McCoy is one of them. You know, the list is starting to grow now of some of these guys that they've put a lot of premium picks into and that are, you know, making their way on this team, and Mason Foster is one. You know, they'll be having to renew these guys pretty soon, and they've got to keep that in mind, because here's the thing, something to remember. The salary cap was flat this year, guys. It only went from $120 million to $123. Now, $3 million to you and me, we're retiring, but $23.
And it's going to be flat next year, too, right?
Yes, it is. It's going to be flat next year, so it's not like it's going to go up to $136 million or anything like that. So the Buccaneers are pretty soon, the way the contracts are starting to shape up, pretty soon now, they're going to be right there. They're not going to have $30, $40 million around anymore. I mean, one of the reasons they're in great shape now is, I mean, a lot of it is fate. I mean, it's really unfortunate that Quincy Black is gone and that his money's off the table. But, you know, the whole situation with Eric Wright, I mean, they didn't envision that. They wanted Eric Wright to be a player for him. And you know what? He may still be a player
for him.
That's one of the reasons they're holding on to him. So, you know, yes, I understand they're tired of being patient, but come on, folks. The Rays start in 2 weeks, not the Bucks. Keep that in mind.
Excellent stuff. Roy, we'll have you on periodically. Anytime there's some Bucks news, we want to get you on with us.
Well, I'll be on anytime you want me, Justin. You know that.
All right. Thank you, Roy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Roy Cummings, Tampa Tribune, Bucks beat writer.